This is CliffCentral.com.
What up,
world?
You're hanging out with the worst guys. My name is Malcolm Judy. Hanging with the coolest crew in the world. I'm here with a team, a credible team. Now, this episode is going to be out of this world if you are a creative. And you know that's who we cater to. The people who are passionate. The people who are ready to change the world. The people who are willing to give it all up for their dreams. These are the type of people that we like to talk to. And today we've got them in the building. Members from the credible team. I've got Lil Tabo in the house. Say what up to the people. Yo, Lil Tabo.
Yo.
What up, Lil Tabo? And over here we have Buddha. Boo, say what's up to the people, Holmes.
What up?
Where? So today's chat is simple. Today's chat is simple. It's about creatives and how we are going to build the future as young creatives.
Indeed.
Because the world is changing so dramatically, right? So dramatically and so quickly that we need to find ways to build each other, right?
Indeed.
Because I think we're coming away from a place where You make it and you keep the secrets to yourself.
Indeed.
Yeah.
You know, there was this time where it's like the people who made it, they want to gatekeep, they want to lock people out. But no more of that. Because, and I think this is very important that they know, the main reason is because there's space for all of us.
Indeed, man.
Don't you think so?
Indeed, man. They don't want us to see us win.
We want to win, so we're going to do it together.
Yeah.
So I want to chat to a little bit about this with you guys, because you guys run a company called Credible, right?
Yep.
And this is getting artists together, making sure that we're connected, we build networks as artists.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I want to know from you, what is the drive behind what you guys do? And, you know, bringing artists together in this new age, being a creative in the new world, what is that for you, Lil Tabo? What is the essence? How do we get better?
Yeah, so I think for us, what we're trying to do more than anything is just to create a space where we can all just like collaborate and create in a simple and cost-effective ways as much as possible, you know what I mean?
Mm.
So at the end of the day, as creatives, there's a lot of different times we've wanted to do a lot of different things, but the ability to create is just either financial resources or access to the kinds of people that could help you, because they have resources, always been a challenge.
Mm.
So what we're really focusing on doing is just like bringing people together so they can discover, recognize, and collaborate.
Cool. So tell me a little bit more about the struggles, the financial struggles, as well as the resources in terms of big people that you want to get in or chat to that you need budget for. How does a young struggling artist access a big artist? You know, what would you advise young artists to do? Is it about confidence? Is it about, 'cause most of the time these people don't know who you are, right?
Yep.
100%.
So tell me, what was your game plan when it comes to sourcing the big guys for any event that you run yourself or that any young creative could use?
Yeah, look, man, it's a very tough situation when it comes to getting funding and getting finances. I mean, we ourselves didn't necessarily start within the creative world. You know, we had our own works that we did. You know, I used to do finance, and Letabu here was in marketing and was in space, right? So with that being said, we don't know how to access and speak to the right people. We don't know how to collaborate with the right people, you know. So we're like, you know what? How do we create a type of an environment where we can find the people that we need? Where do we create, or how do we create an environment where we ourselves can build our credibility like you're speaking about? Because that's a big thing that you don't have. You don't have the credibility. So when you walk into the room and you're able to find these people, it's like, but who are you exactly?
Yeah,
you know, what have you done?
Yeah.
Like, you know, who are the people that you worked with? And those are the main things that we kept hearing. So we're like, you know, let's create this environment where we can show what people it is that they're doing. You know, we can actually show who the people that they've been working with, such as yourself, for an example.
Mm.
And then at least help build the credibility so that conversation can happen when you do get the funding.
Mm. I mean, like, just look over here. This is what I've done. Yeah. This is who I've done it with. Oh,
indeed.
You're a comedian. I've worked with Tumi Muraka.
Yeah.
Oh, I've worked with...
Yeah.
I see. 100%.
That's a setup, yeah.
Cool.
So with that being said, man, like, even now, the getting the funding struggle is still real.
Mm.
I'll be dead honest. It's still hard, you know, like, we're running our own campaigns and trying to bring people together in a physical environment and getting people to sponsor that and getting people to come in and actually fully understand that is a long process, you know. And then once people are there, then it's like, oh, gosh, damn, shit, I see what you guys are actually doing. So it's a very long journey in getting, you know, the sponsorships and getting the money, but we're on it, man. And the only thing we can do is, like you say, just build our credibility, be as confident in what we do, because we believe in what we're doing, you know, and we have the community around us, which we're trying to build. And we know that community, such as yourself, man, is going to be with us, just like we're there for you guys.
Yeah.
You
know? Okay. So let's talk a little bit about this financial aspect of it, right? Because everybody's looking for sponsors. Everybody's looking for ways for their businesses to grow.
Yeah.
And I wanted to know from you, how do people do that? Who do you start talking to when it comes to especially small businesses? Is the government actually helping people? Are they giving out funding? Because I think a lot of the time as young, and I'll say black entrepreneurs as well, we are left out of the loop on how to access funding or who do you speak to? Who do you speak to when you want to build something or invest? Yes, let's have them.
So like, I'll tell you, like, from our point of view as Credible, is at this present point in time, for all the things that we've been doing, we've really just been leveraging our network and speaking to people in our community. When it comes to sponsorships, it'll take you right back down to why we started, you know, what we're doing, which is Credible and the games and everything that we're trying to do. Because at the end of the day, when you want to approach whoever it is that you're going to want to approach for whatever kind of thing, right, let's call it financial resources, let's call it sponsorship, whatever,
let's call it sponsorship,
you need to have something that can back up what you're trying to say. You get what I mean? And that's what it is at the end of the day. So for us, when it comes to that kind of space, we haven't acquired any heavy sponsors that are helping us do the things that we're doing. At the end of the day, we're speaking to people within our community and we're collaborating amongst each other. And as people have seen in the past, we are doing the most together as a community. And I think in those spaces, when we come together as a community and do these things together, that creates an opportunity, because we're not alone, for potential sponsors to come into the environment and maybe want to help out or get involved, because this is something that's happening whether we want to or not, whether they want it to happen or not. I hope I phrased that right.
Yeah. So in the space of collaboration, right, we all know that everybody still wants to make money.
What is your
vision behind that? Are you guys saying just come together and out of that together the money will come out, or is this something saying we'll build the money for you eventually? I don't know what your goal is or what the idea is behind money, because a lot of the times in entertainment, you know, when the money chat comes, that's when it's like, okay. So tell me about that. How do you feel about that?
Well, look, man, our view is we cannot penalize the very people that we're trying to help, which is the creators ourselves, right? So to the point that you're saying, I think we're trying to approach it with some kind of a Robin Hood analogy, you know, in a sense that, look, we know that our community doesn't necessarily have the money, but we have the culture, we have the actual skills, we have the things that are needed. So we're saying, come through, you know, let's be in this environment where we can showcase what it is that we do. And the people who do have the money, you know, which will be your clients, you know, will be your sponsors, whatever the case might be, will be coming through and say, look, I like what you guys are doing, you know, or I like what you're doing specifically, Mark, you know, and I would like to actually sponsor you. So our view is to bring people within one space, that being the people with the money, being the clients and the creator themselves, who have the resources or have the skills, you know, to do the work. So that's kind of how we're trying to approach this, is bring the money towards the people. But in order to bring the money towards the people who have the skills, we need those people to be able to show their confidence, you know. We need them to show their work, we need them to show off their skills. And that's kind of how we are doing this, because the honest truth, to answer your question about how we're doing the funding, it's hard, man. Like, we've been to government, we've been speaking to government, you know, we're going to private sector now, because government, we're not getting much joy, unfortunately, from government standard procedure. You know what I mean? We just decided, you know, let's go to private sector, and private sector has actually been very receptive to us, you know. And that's where I think we've been placing more of our time and our energy, and currently even building our company and our platform right now. It's private sector that's been helping us.
I see.
It's not even government.
So you would advise young entrepreneurs or creatives to focus their energy on the private sector and finding people who are individuals. All right. Cool. So we're going to make a call right now, because I don't know if you guys know, but we are actually going to do an event this Saturday. It's called Laugh It Off. The worst guys will be hosting it.
Dreamers Wanted. Laugh It Off Games is about to be heavy.
Dreamers Wanted. So that's the whole plan. That's the whole concept, is we're going to bring these dreamers together, and we're going to bring teams that are going to go up against each other. Tell me a little bit more about the event. It's like Wild N' Out.
We're
the Nick Cannons, and y'all guys are the platform.
If y'all going to think about it, like if y'all seen Wild N' Out, if you seen Lip Sync Battle, if you seen some of the other games that we put up on there, it's going to be a jump. And the way we set it up, we got our two heavy hitter, King, Queen, all of the above, you know, champions, Khaleletsan Kaufman and Bogang Pelane. Those are going to be our house captains for these games. Mm-hmm. They're going to go head to head, and y'all got to pick a team because these ladies are bringing heat.
So it's like a house captains, right? It's like Gryffindor, Slytherin, Hufflepuff.
That kind of
who's the funniest? And then we'll host, and then there'll be judges. Who are the judges? I heard Deep Fried Man is one of them.
We got the guys from Monday Night Comedy coming in as a collaborative, because you guys, you as Mark, the worst guys, the Monday Night Comedy guys, you guys are in the comedy space and we're not in the comedy space. So if we're trying to do something and it's going to be comedy themed, let's get the guys that are in the space to come and be the people that assess and be, you know, that's how we get the judging to be equal. So we're bringing in the guys to come through and collaborate.
That's cool. Comedians love judging people. Say something funny, because that's what everybody says to us. Tell me a joke. No, now it's your turn.
But hold on, bro. Why aren't you telling people that you're hosting this thing, bro?
We got the host.
They're gonna be running us through the day. It's gonna be popping.
It's gonna be hella hot. Yeah. But I wanted to get into chats with some of the house captains that you've got. Let's see what they have to say about what's happening on Saturday. Hello, am I speaking to Hi.
What up, Age?
I like that introduction.
I'm good. I'm fantastic. I'm the house captain for the Underdogs.
The Underdogs, is that the name of the team? Yeah, the Underdogs. Yeah. All right, cool. I like that.
Thank you. It is the year of the Underdogs, though. So many unexpected things are happening for talent to be recognized.
100%.
People that are known, you know, and so yeah, why not? The Underdogs just come through.
All right. So one question. I'm going to ask you the same question that every comedian gets asked, since it is funny. Tell me a joke.
I will tell you the joke.
Do you have a joke?
I look like a joke to you? Yeah.
Snap.
Yeah. Okay, cool. But down to more serious questions, Khala. I want to ask you about how you feel about being a creative in the new world, because obviously we are collaborating, you putting a team together for this event. How easy is it to get other artists on board to your vision? Because obviously not everybody is the same. And how do you convince other artists to be on your team?
You don't. The ugly truth is that you can't force anybody to do anything they don't want to do. Luckily for us, we are living in a time where a lot of people are liberated and more open-minded than the generation that came before us.
Yeah.
So you do find a lot of people who want to try out new sounds, new things, new look, you know, new mediums to deliver the content that they have. So that's the most beautiful thing, is that once you post, people are constantly just being like, okay, cool, what are you doing? What can I do to do with your collaboration and support? You're coming from different sides, from different people that I never even considered. So I'm just being myself, and I'm hoping that other people who are themselves can come through too.
Nice.
Because authenticity is the best thing we can ever afford to offer any database or any fan base that we're trying to build.
Bars.
Any movement we're trying to start, yeah.
All right, so what I'm getting is that our generation is more open to collaboration and communication about being there, right?
Indeed.
So I don't know if it's a culture shift in general in the world where we're just more open and we are more about love. But what is it about past successful people where they feel like they need to hold the keys to the kingdom? Do you believe that there's space for all of us in the promised land or wherever?
There's room for all of us. There's space for all of us. I always say to people, I'm not coming for everything. I'm coming for everything that has my name on it.
Snap.
You're going to turn this podcast into a poetry session. I'm a writer too.
Beforehand, you know, the most powerful thing in the hands of the oppressor was the mind of the oppressed, these people.
Whoa.
You were taught that you know, certain things didn't belong to us, that we couldn't have certain things, and we were underprivileged. So
word.
People always felt the need to fight harder,
word.
And they were entitled. Now you have to earn everything that you have. You can't just walk into Jay-Z's office and be like, Lalela, I can sing. He's
word.
Like, okay, cool, you got 2 minutes. And that's all you have. And if you don't prove yourself in 2 minutes, then you have nothing.
Word.
You know,
yeah.
So that's what it is. That's the difference between us and the generation that came before us. Is that they had to work 10 times as hard to not even have half of what we have. And we have 10 times more than what they had, but we're giving half performances. So
there's a sense of, because we always hear this about millennials, and I do think it's kind of true to instate, the sense of entitlement, right, that we have.
Definitely.
Instant gratification, I think, is probably the biggest thing, because what I've noticed amongst artists is that they're talented, they work hard, but they want the results now.
Yeah.
They want the results now.
Yeah. And that's, nothing grows overnight, you know?
Yeah.
That's what, I think that's what we were missing as a generation. And I think this whole idea of collaboration and growth together builds this idea of we're starting with nothing.
Indeed.
And we're going to put water on it, and we're going to make sure it's in the sunlight until it grows, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basic principles of farming, man.
Yeah.
One of my mentors actually said to me the one time, Kalaleza, you need to decide what you're going to be. You're going to be a shooting star or you're going to be a raising star. Because shooting stars make the most noise. Everybody looks at them. But the raising star stays up there. You are the Southern Cross. No matter what anybody tries to do, they can't take you.
Yeah.
So your constellation will always be there. When they look for Olympus, they're like, okay, there he is.
Damn.
And everything else. And the shooting star, after a while, it disappears.
Wow.
So everybody wants to make noise and be these shooting stars. And they don't want to work their way up.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
But I think that it's changing, I'd like to think.
You know,
there is a new group of creatives that's coming. And I mean, Credible is giving us a platform right now to recognize the creatives that are putting in work. So people can't just walk in right now and be like, hi, keep all
show us,
what
tell us.
Yeah.
And you were saying, Letabo?
Yeah, and I think, like, just to add on, like, what you were saying, Khala, as well, is that it's also a new world. So, like, what we are also all realizing, and it speaks to the question of millennials and instant gratification. It's not that we're not down to put in the work. We're here for the work. But when we're putting in the work, recognize us for the work we're putting in. And I'm not saying I'm going to start something and then in 6 months I'm supposed to pop off. I'll put in that 4, 5, 6 years. But through the journey, the people who I'm trying to put myself on to just to get on, they need to see and recognize us. You know what I mean? Because we're coming.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this new world, right? I see a complete flip in terms of, you know, almost not giving a fuck. You know, that's the new world that we're going into, because I think a lot of the times people before us and the world before us has always been about trying to be perfect and putting out this display.
Censoring
and hiding behind what we really are and who we really are. And I think that is starting to change. Do you feel that as well, Khala?
I know it is.
Yeah.
I don't even just feel that. I know it is, because we're coming into a world right now where we have nothing to prove but what we have. I don't know if that makes sense. Unapologetically being yourself is the best thing you can ever sell. Today you can walk out and be a Tyler the Creator. You couldn't be Tyler the Creator in 1976. But today you can wake up and be Willow Smith. Today you can wake up and be an Una Ram. Let me bring it back home. So that, you know, a Moon Child family, a Shekinah. Beforehand, you had to look a certain way, be a certain way.
Yeah, exactly. There's
now
no,
you don't have to anymore.
There's no blueprint.
You do it for the craft and the fans will follow. Before you did it for the fans and the craft was how shall I say, manufactured around.
Secondary almost.
Definitely. But Kanye West proved. He was like, okay, cool. College dropout, stop. Graduation, stop. 808s and heartbreak, stop. Then he was like, that's just defensively, like, this sound is different. Then users, we were like, wait, what's happening? So now it's like, I am the artist. I get it. But at the end of the day, I'm expressing myself. You know, because James Baldwin said the role of the artist is the same as the role of a lover. If I love you, I have to make you conscious of the things that you cannot see. So if I constantly give you the same thing and feed you the same food, you're not going to grow. You can't drink my famine and milk forever.
Can't be coffee. Okay, so I hear what you're saying, and you brought up Kanye West, which is an interesting topic for me right now.
Let's talk about Kanye.
I used to love Kanye. Okay, so this is, I love Kanye West, even still today. Even with all the, and I put it in big inverted commas, the fucked up shit that he says, which is in inverted commas. But this guy is the only, he's the only man in the world, because he's the only one who's willing to be himself through and through.
Mm-hmm. Regardless of what he might lose, he has so much to lose, but he still has the balls to say slavery was a choice to me. Who the fuck does that? And I'm not saying I agree with him, but the fact that he's saying what he feels, regardless of the consequence or the outcome, mm-hmm. tells me that he's so in tune with himself mm-hmm. and the universe that he's in and what he's trying to achieve, that you need to stop looking at the packaging and looking at the intent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? A lot mm-hmm. of the times we want to be outraged. Mm-hmm. So we look at it and we say, this guy's an idiot. But if you look at what he's actually saying, what's underlying is he wants change.
Yep.
And that was another thing that I was very offended by, that statement, you know? And I thought to myself, oh my gosh, slavery is a choice. But then after a while, I was like, okay, cool. If you were put on a boat right now, would you jump off or would you go with it? Because our ancestors right now are somewhere in the Atlantic because they decided, cool, you know, we're not going to be slaves.
Mm.
There's no such thing as truth, only perception.
Yeah.
And it's because how we decide to look at things that they close us off, you know, because we were raised this way. Our parents told us this is homophobia, this is sexualism, this is feminism, this is this and that. And then unfortunately, the more you work your way up to Maslow's hierarchy of needs, psychologically speaking, so to self-actualization, the more open-minded you become, you know? And unfortunately,
yep.
And I also think like you conquer the armies of illusion as you're going up. And what I mean by that is we are still experiencing some sort of slavery.
Indeed.
We are new slaves.
Mental slavery.
Man. And a lot of people do jobs and things that they hate in order to survive or whatever the case might be. But you are contributing to a life that you dislike or not enjoy, i.e. slavery, willingly. Yeah. And knowingly that you hate it, do you know?
Yeah.
So you need to break that mental because you are making a choice when you go to your 9-to-5 every single morning, even though you hate it.
Yeah.
That's a conscious decision. Although you feel like there's an oppressor with the whip, pay your rent, buy your food, petrol for your car, that oppressor is imaginary. You know, you can make money anyway, anyhow.
Yeah, but I just
want to... Someone said to me the other day, you know, Khalalizang, you can say whatever you want to say because you got your dreams came true. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what do you mean my dreams came true? I had the same 72 hours as Samantha that came from Limpopo that got 7 distinctions that I didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
And he made it into this. You know, and he walked 5 kilometers to school.
Damn.
So where now, Umang, to let your circumstances determine who you are.
100%.
Hey, but you can't say such things, you can't do this. I was like, okay, perfect example, dream girl.
Mm.
Jennifer Hudson is way more talented at the end, but not enough work ethic.
Damn.
So there's always
facts on facts.
It's the truth. There's always going to be someone who's going to be hungrier than you, who's going to want more than you.
Mm-hmm.
And when they see that you are hungry, they're going to come in starving and they're going to surpass you.
Yeah.
That's just all it's about.
And I also just wanted to say that thing on the question of like slavery, right? The chat we were having earlier when it comes to like Marcus saying that, you know, we in the world where now we're still in some kind of slavery, it's the mental slavery, and you go to work every day and you feel like the boss is cracking the whip or whatnot. It's we say one part is that is choice and the other part is survival. And I think that at the end of the day, we can't go without acknowledging the fact that we have to work through all kinds of different systems to get to the places and put ourselves in a position. But you just got to be woke of your situation. Be aware.
And balance your life.
Be aware of what you're trying to do so that when you get into those spaces, you know that you're there with a mission so that you can set yourself up for the things you want to do.
But we're about to change that and change that. It's our responsibility, Khala. It's our responsibility. But thank you so much for the chat.
Thank you so much for having me.
Team captain!
Before you dip out,
team captain,
we've got a question. Yo, don't you want to tell the peeps what your theme is going to be for the games? Like the outfits, what the vibes are?
Cool.
What kind of energy y'all bringing?
For the day. Legends, that's all that I want.
Legends.
I want you to come to this as a character, your favorite legend.
Yeah.
So think Michael Jackson, think Brenda Fassie, think Roberto, think outside the box.
Yeah.
Even if you're thinking movies, think Trinity from The Matrix, think Neo. Just come in as yourself.
Yeah.
As also your alter ego, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I just want people to have fun with it, whether it's gospel stars, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Just come through, let's have fun. And let's be great.
Yeah, let's do the most.
100%,
100%.
Thank you so much, Khala. You, I don't know, the next house captain is going to have a hard time beating that because we went.
Shout out to you, Khala.
Team captain.
All right.
With myself.
Cool. Yeah. No, we believe in you. Thank you so much for the call.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
We'll see you on Saturday.
You.
All right. See you guys. guys on Saturday.
Ooh, thanks, Kala.
Bye, bye. We're about to take a short break and then we'll be right back with the worst guys.
Yes.
This is CliffCentral.com.
Room in Here by Anderson .Paak. And that's what we're trying to tell y'all today. There's room in here for all the creatives. If you want to live your dream, there is room for you.
All of us.
Yeah, all of us. We are full, even. We are full. Don't even think about it.
This is CliffCentral.com.
All right. So we are one day away from our next exclusive movie screening, The Equalizer 2. We can't wait to hang out with you and the rest of the CliffCentral.com crew. So have some popcorn and Coke and join us as we enjoy this action thriller showcasing Denzel Washington at his best on Thursday, the 23rd of August, the day before it hits cinemas nationwide. Look at that. Mm-hmm. Exclusivity.
Mm-hmm. Must be nice.
Denzel is reprising one of his signature roles as Robert McCall in The Equalizer 2, which hits cinemas on the 24th of August. So McCall serves as an unflinching justice for the exploited and the oppressed.
Yes.
Wow,
yes.
What a man. But how far will he go when it comes to someone he loves when his former agency boss and only friend is killed in and ordered to get a hit? Yo, his boss gets hit. That's crazy. McCall leaps into action to avenge her death, to settle the score. He will have to face four highly experienced killers who have the same precision training as himself. Whoa, count down with us by using the hashtag TheEqualizer2. All right, so now, hey, this guy is saving the world, my man. This guy is like a... He's going to take on four people. But you know what? The steering always wins.
I mean, you see the first one. That was a steering. He was a steering.
It doesn't matter. If it's four people, he's got to kill. He'll kill the four. Mm-hmm. Give him six. Give him ten. And I don't know. The steering is always a winner. But how many babies do you think you could beat up? Like if I said.
What?
Two-year-olds. How many two-year-olds do you think you could fuck up?
None.
Like,
no, two-year-olds.
I'm not advocating beating up two-year-olds.
Like, none, bro.
But I'm just saying, like, how strong do you think, how many two-year-olds would take over? Like they'll start climbing on you and shit and biting your ears. Dog, I just want to know because this guy is too strong.
I think
50. I think I can beat up 52-year-olds.
You beat up 52-year-olds? In a way. Dude, that's crazy, man. You run away from the 2 years old.
And they're like little rascals.
Uppercuts one way. Uppercuts one way. Anyway, come check out The Equalizer with Cliff Central Comp Crew. It's going to be mad dope. That's always a vibe. Free popcorn and a drink. You know you got to go.
You're going to hear the ladies. Ooh, Denzel!
Nice. All right, so we're talking about creatives and living as a creative in the new world, right? So we wanna get more into this whole idea of working together and making sure that we all eat once we're there, right? And it's quite difficult, especially when the ego is involved.
Yeah, man.
Have you guys had to deal with ego as people who are dealing with artists on a regular basis? Is that something that's a problem, especially when it comes to sourcing big artists?
So can I take that one?
Yeah,
so like I think Kholo, one of our co-founders, Kholo, he's just not here with us today. He said it very well in an interview we did with Joburg TV, and he was saying that when it comes to big brands, and because we see everyone as a brand, we want everybody to see themselves as a brand.
All right.
We work with people that want to be part of the community. So when it comes to approaching people, we speak to them, we tell them what we're trying to do, we get them in on the idea of what we're trying to create. Mm. And all the people that we manage to get on board are people that see what we're trying to do, and they see it not for them maybe as an immediate opportunity, but maybe as an opportunity that can create something for the people that are going to come after them. Mm. So I think that's where a lot of the vision alignment and the community comes together in that space.
Cool. And just maybe another thing as well. I mean, one of our beliefs or values as a company is confidence, right?
Mm.
So when we deal with people who are confident, when we deal, and you're mentioning ego, I don't necessarily see it as ego, but obviously we see it as confidence. You know, we always tell people, like Khali was saying, come in as a legend, come as your alter ego, you know, come as your most confident version of yourself.
Mm.
We want to breed that confidence. I don't want to call it arrogance. We want to breed that confidence because we need it in this society. We need people to be confident in themselves, to be strong in what they stand for, you know.
And I think in South Africa we don't see ourselves as superstars.
Exactly. Yeah,
you know, and these guys do, these Americans, all these other big acts, they see themselves 100%. As demigods to some extent. 100%. So you need that ego.
Look at Kanye, man. Yeah, look at Kanye. I mean,
and tell me about the role of fear. how would you suggest that we conquer our fear as artists or overcome the risk? Because if you're going to be a great artist, you're going to be uncomfortable 90% of the time.
100%.
Because you're going into uncharted territory. Yeah. As Khala was saying, you've got to do the things that nobody's seen, nobody's heard. So how do you overcome that fear and dive into the thing?
Yeah.
So I think like the first thing you need to understand when it comes to fear, right, is your biggest competitor, and it's been said, and it sounds cheesy, but I'm gonna bring it back in, is the person that you see when you look in the mirror. Mm. That is your biggest opponent. 100%. So even for us, how we create the environments, how we bring the communities together, we say to everybody, bring the most confident version of yourself. Mm. And the first thing that you do when you get to our gigs, if it's your first time, you gotta come and sign a Dreamers Wanted Declaration. And a Dreamers Wanted Declaration is a personal commitment to yourself by coming into the space to follow your dreams no matter what. Mm. So all the doubt, all the fear, all of the stuff that comes with you being unable to get to your dreams, all of that stuff, you gotta move it out the way and just see the vision. And that's what it is. So even for us, that's how we do it. No doubt it's some of the things we have to do are scary. I mean, there's a lot of uncertainty, but at the end of the day, if your eye is on the prize, jump at it, go at it, and don't let nothing stop you.
I think I also want to jump in, man. Like, the thing is, fear is always going to be there. Let's just be honest, right? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Nobody's not afraid of anything.
No, it doesn't. But it's how you channel that energy.
Yeah.
Because fear is a form of energy.
All right.
Channel that energy, you know, do it to make sure that you can become the best version of yourself.
Mm.
Channel that fear. I mean, there's nothing you can do. Fear is fear. You're scared. You know, you're afraid. Especially when you come into a space that you don't fully understand, or like in our country, for an example, you don't have the right resource, you don't know how to speak to the right people, you don't have the right mentors, and the people that mentor you maybe don't want to mentor you. This becomes, you know, a show off of what they've done. So you have to take that fear, man, and use it to your advantage. It's just the best thing that you can do.
Okay, cool. So just to touch on that, there is something that I heard from a podcast, the Tim Ferriss podcast with Jamie Foxx.
Yeah.
And he asked this question: what's on the other side of fear?
Success.
Nothing.
Yeah.
So you're right when you say success, but we fear all these things, but you realize when you go past, there was
nothing.
There was actually nothing there. Yeah. It was all in your head. You were imagining all of it.
Perception.
So there was something you were afraid to say. You said it, and
then what?
You didn't die.
Yeah.
You didn't burst into flames. Yeah. You are still alive. You are still here. You're still doing the thing that you want to do.
Yeah.
So that's something I want to spread as well. There's nothing on the other side of the fear. If you feel it, do it.
Yeah, and just on top of that, just one thing I wanted to say is the other reason people have fear is because you're scared to fail. And people shouldn't be scared to fail.
You will fail.
Let's get that out the way.
Multiple times. There's a chance
you will fail. And if you do fail, it's all about your rate of learning, how quick you bounce back. Take the lessons, see what you did, try that thing again.
Yeah.
And you'll see that you'll most likely do it better if you're paying attention to what it is you're trying to do.
100%. All right. So now on the line, we have another team captain. His name is Bokang.
Her name. My bad.
It's a unisex name. Forgiveness. Hi, Bokang.
Hey, yo. Hey, and it's the Mother Matsona. Get it right.
Ooh. Mother Matsona. Get it right.
I'm liking the spice. If this Saturday's event is anything like this, it's going to be hot.
Oh, she's a team captain, man.
We're each other.
You know we got to hold it down for the boys and the girls. FB and FG United.
Tell them what it means.
Yeah. Talk to us, BK. What does that mean?
Sorry? What was that? Sorry, I didn't hear you.
We're saying, tell us what it means, the FBFUU.
Yeah.
Am I allowed to swear?
Yeah, go ahead.
You at Clip Central.
Black Girls United.
Yeah.
Together we band for a good cause this time, but only this one time.
Say that again. What does it stand for?
It's Fuck Boys and Fuck Girls United.
Fuck Boys and Fuck Girls United. All right. I don't know about being a fuck boy, though. Those are my old days.
You know you all are. Can we all be fuck boys and fuck girls for a good reason?
Oh, yeah. So you're just accepting that that's what we are. We're just like, okay,
guys,
but let's put it to good use.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So tell me a little bit about your team, Bokang, and how you plan on sourcing your people and how you plan on winning on Saturday.
In terms of how I'm sourcing my people, you know, I'm just extending the same spirit that has kind of gravitated me towards Credible, which is the communist spirit, the community spirit.
Yeah.
the spirit of creativity and creation.
Yep.
And the other time, bringing people in, people who love to have fun, people who love to create, and people who love to meet other people who they can, you know, sort of like grow from. That's how I'm bringing people in.
Yeah. All right. Because I've...
other question?
No. I was just saying, in terms of your vision aligning with your people, that's very difficult to do as a leader who especially is trying to bring out people who are not of the same entertainment industry, or they're not actors, or they're not all actors or all writers. But what do you do exactly?
We're all entertainers, so I just call to the entertainer within the person. Everybody has sat down around a bunch of friends and told stories, and we've all laughed, and those people are not necessarily our comedians or our actors or whatever. So I call to the storyteller within anybody else.
Nice.
And that's just by letting loose, having fun, make a fool of yourself. Who cares? We're all having fun.
So let's talk about that, right? We're all creators and we're all storytellers. And this is something that I think is crucial in the becoming of a true artist, is that you are trying to relay a message at the end of the day, right? Even when we're going and having fun, quarring each other, there's something behind it. So, Bokang, what would your message as an artist be to the people that you want to reach, other artists that you want to inspire? What is the core value that you hold and that fuck girls and fuck boys would hold as a team?
United.
To do good.
Never deny your inner crazy. It's what makes you special. Like I said, I'm calling to people's inner crazy, and once you've accepted your inner crazy, you will gravitate towards the community and accept the love, and then just you fall for it.
So 100%.
Respond positive to your inner crazy and accept the community of creatives and the support system and the love that they have around you, and that's just the spirit.
Yeah. And can I just add on to that, Bokang? Because I think a lot of people don't understand is that I think everybody has a unique purpose.
Yeah.
It's as unique as your fingerprint, and that's what always inspires me. I look at my fingerprint, I'm just like, shit. Nobody in the world has this print.
Yeah. Yep.
It doesn't matter what it's filled with. I don't know all these lines here, but I know they're there, and I know if I put my finger here, nobody will actually have the same exact fingerprint.
Yeah.
And I think people need to tap into that uniqueness, and the understanding is that you'll never be able to have Letabo's fingerprint, Mark.
No. Yeah.
It'll always be yours, no matter what you do. And I think that's something that we need to really start to invest in our people and tell them, like, yo, bruh, you are not the same as anybody, but what you are is as good as what you see in anybody else.
Yep. Yeah,
true.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of people don't see themselves as great because they're not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
We're all great. It's already been written.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing that's missing is the decision.
Yeah.
It's that mental slavery thing, man.
Mental slavery. We always get back to it. Yeah.
True.
All right. And do you wanna say anything to your team? You wanna bring anybody in? What is your hustle about? We're about to wrap out with some news, and I wanna find out from you.
Team.
Yeah.
And
to
your
team.
The energy, the theme, the dress code, what's your vision?
What's
how y'all doing it? What energy?
The dress code is fuck shit up. Whatever that means to you, baby.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, go for it.
Yo, Bokang.
Yeah.
What do you think about your competitor, bro?
You mean who? The hot dogs? Patloka Sosinya.
I like this. This is going to be dope. This is going to be dope. All right.
The hot dogs.
Thank you so much for the call, Bokang. This has been a really great conversation.
Thank you so much, Bokang.
We'll see you on Saturday. Thank you so much for your insights.
All right.
Have a good day, dear.
Thank you. Awesome, guys. And check out Angry Amber.
Yeah. We're going to check it out.
Bye.
Bye, homie.
Bye.
All right. Thank you so much to Bukai for giving us a call. Now we're going to go back into the West Guys business, the West Guys news. You know what we do? We tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but.
One more penny, add it again. Read about it. Extra, late grab young Fallon. Extra. Read all about it. Life story of Playboy Penny.
All right. So the first news story that has caught our attention over the last week as the Worst Guys is about the state capture inquiry being underway. This is specifically very interesting to us because, you know, we're always throwing shade at the government. We are. We're always talking shit about them, which they deserve. Let's not lie. These guys have been doing y'all's. But to me, the state capture inquiry going underway, it tells me that we do have some sort of justice system in place that is doing some sort of work.
Mm-hmm.
The extent of its success is an entirely different conversation.
Yeah.
But the fact that it's happening makes me happy because we got to a point when Zuma was our president where I thought we are just gonna get fucked for the rest of our days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like I didn't see light. I thought Zuma would have a dodge for everything, yeah. You know, because he's quite good at that. This guy,
yeah, he was good at the
dodge. He should be a boxer. He'll never get hit. He's the next floor at Zuma. You know yeah. what I mean? He's dodging everything. So now the director of public prosecutions has been dismissed. Sean Abrams is gone. We're looking for somebody new. Cyril is coming in and is trying to effect change. I don't know about his land expropriation without compensation deal. Yeah, I think he's just trying to win some votes there. But anyway, do your thing. Be a politician. We see you. We see you. But I am really happy that the Guptas are being held accountable and that we know the projects that we're going to tackle them on. The Estinia Dairy Project, for example, their actual involvement in moving off people in parliament and the fact that it was charged and motivated. Yeah. You know, those are the type of things that we want to see come out. And we don't know what the result is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
All I know is that there's going to be a lot of hot curry in prison from now on.
These
guys will be distributing curry everywhere they go. State captain inquiry is underway. And let's see how this story unfolds over time.
Hopefully
I think
they
it's
going
to take ages.
Hopefully they don't own the prisons as well.
Dude, they might just. They you might just. Know, they're going to be the ones. Know. They're selling the guays. They're selling all the contraband.
Yeah.
So that's happening. That's underway. I'm really, really happy about that. Another sign that we actually have a justice system is the Van Breda appeal being denied. For those of you who don't know the Van Breda case, it's a story about a young man, a young gentleman, early 20s, who axe murdered his fams, dog. Like, he chopped them up with a fucking axe, bro. That's like movie shit, dog. His mom, his dad, and his brother. It's like, bro, why? What did they do to you that made you so angry?
Hannibal Hector type of
It's a real movie. And he called the cops, and what he did is that he smoked a guai while he was waiting for the cops. I want to know what guai you are smoking. Was it a Courtly? Was it a Stuyvesant?
What was worth it?
That's what you want to know. What was worth it? No, because whatever that guai is, I'm not smoking it anymore. Let me see. Like, this guy is about to act murder somebody. I feel like it was a Peter Reid. That's a gangster cigarette. Stuyvesant Reid is what he was smoking. But his appeal has been denied. He was convicted. He was charged guilty. And he doesn't have a chance of doing a redo. You know, you're gone forever. And it's crazy that some people I come across haven't heard of this case because it's crazier than the Oscar trial to me.
Yeah, man.
You know, Oscar was just crazy, but an axe, bro.
Your whole family, your mom and your dad. And didn't you also try
his girlfriend? His girlfriend. Apparently, she was like, she was just wounded and stuff like that. But I don't know how she escaped. It might have been his sister. Actually.
I think it was the sister. Just lived.
Yeah,
she's
the girlfriend is just there sitting with him in court. It's like, yeah, this is my man's. This is my man's. Imagine supporting your murder trialed boyfriend. Like, how do you go through that as a woman?
She's guilty by association.
Definitely. That's the Van Breda appeal. It's been denied. And another story, which is also crazy to me, is the Parktown Boys High School teacher, Colin Ricks. Now, this guy, he sexually assaulted over 144 kids. He's the water polo coach.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
144!
That's wild. No,
that's like every kid that comes to his class. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
But isn't he a water polo?
He's a water polo coach under the water.
Yeah.
Like, do you want to come play some water polo?
I'm help you not drown.
Don't worry, you won't drown. I promise. I'll hold you up. I'll keep you up. Meanwhile, he's busy fondling the balls.
Damn.
It's so dark, but there are some real bad people out here.
And
you know, when it comes to the sexual assault thing, like, I think we victimize a lot of people, but we don't look at real motherfucking assholes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Louis C.K. ain't got nothing on this 144K nigga or 144 kids guy.
And on top of that, like, I think the way people need to approach this thing is, like, stop victimizing the people who are the victims, but also focus more on, like, understanding what goes on in the mind of a person who's gonna do that. Like,
try to understand
the psychology behind, because there's different intent to the problem.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy's, like you said, 114 kids.
144
bro. Kids. That's wild. Somebody needs to understand what's going on in this man's head. And just like,
how did it stay silent for so long? That's what I want to know. I mean, Parktown Boys is a pretty famous school in China's, but
and he's a young guy, right?
Yeah. But I.
Do you want to come take a swim with me? You get on the towel?
No, I don't want to swim with you, dog.
I can't even swim. I'm black.
Yeah. What's another summer sport? Can I play cricket? Yeah. No water polo for me, thanks. So, yeah, that's quite crazy. And then another story that has caught our attention is the story about Adam. Adam, what's his surname? Adam Castavelos.
I think it's Castavelos.
So this guy is world-class racist. World-class racist. Yeah, he actually
belongs in the Olympics of racists.
Top three, probably. We haven't found the other two yet.
Who do you think would win in a racist battle between Penny Sparrow and and Adam? Who do you think would take the cake?
Well, but the fact that Penny Sparrow went to prison means that she won.
Cats are still going. Vicky Momberg is a contender. She's on the podium.
Actually, she probably had the most balls because she said it to a cop.
And she said it 48 times.
To a cop. So she had the most.
Yeah, that's true.
Is it okay to say balls? You know that big dick energy? That was what she was on.
Vicky Momberg has racist big dick energy.
What would go through your mind to say something like that to a cop?
Yeah, but can I tell you guys something? Like, I used to get really angry. I used to get really frustrated. It was a point where I was like, if it's time to go to war, I'm there.
Yeah.
Line me up in Woolworths and then we'll have a secret call.
Woolies.
Yeah. Like, we'll just have black people in the line. Firstly, we'll be suspect anyway because we're at Woolies.
Yeah.
But then, you know, they won't know the truth. And then they'll be like, next customer, please. Then they come.
Yeah.
And then you're going to get to, my son, baby!
Yeah, but I'll tell you something that's crazy. And I think also one part of like why a guy like that would feel like he could just come on and record himself saying some things like that, right? Is I think one part of it is him being himself, which is okay.
Yeah.
But I think for us.
No, it's not okay.
No. Let him be himself. It's not okay.
Fair enough.
But like, let him be himself. And what I'm saying for us as black people, let's not get baited into thinking we need to like get up in arms, because that's a setup for us.
Yeah.
Because we're going to go to jail a lot quicker than a nigga like that will go to jail.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
100%.
So let's just catch ourselves and maybe silent protest a guy like that. You just rock
just
up. 100 of us, quiet. We don't say nothing. We don't do nothing. We just stand there in front of him. And we look him in the eyes. 100 of us. Rather do that and then see if he's going to say something like that afterwards.
I dare you. Know
what I mean? This is what I was getting to with your point, is that because I'm saying I used to get angry, but I don't anymore, because racists will always be there. They'll always be the people who they are. And obviously we're not advocating for it, but I'm like, dog, this guy is so comfortable with who he is. Like, he said it so casually. Like, not one kaffir inside. He's like,
balls on that guy.
He's like, fucking heaven.
You
can't beat this. You can't beat this. And I could see it was coming from a true place in his heart.
He gave us a weather forecast.
Yeah, he did.
He gave us a weather forecast from wherever he was.
Not one. And apparently, he's been fired from his job and it's a family business. He's no longer there.
He's still going to get that money, man.
Yeah. His wife is a managing director of some shit at Nike.
So,
he's in the shit. They've deleted all their social media. And I think he'll get punished the way he deserves to get punished. But I don't give a fuck about racists anymore. That's what I'm trying to say. Come say kafir in my face. I'll say sure.
You know what my thing is, Mark? Now, I hear what you're saying.
Mm.
But my issue is kind of what we also faced with in this country, in the sense that it feels like our moral fiber is withering away.
Mm.
You know, which is a very big problem. You know, I still feel like we need to be in uproar with things that are wrong. Mm. You know, we need to have that thing where we're angry about the things that are wrong.
Yeah.
Because otherwise we're still gonna be comfortable about things like state capture. I'm gonna be like, it is what it is.
It's fine.
And I don't think that's the way we should be living. You know, people must be held to account, man. Like, however that account is, it's up to the people that is done. I'm not gonna advocate for mob justice obviously, but we need to have that thing where we're like, yo, man, this, I'm going to tolerate this shit.
Yeah,
I understand.
We're going to lock you out.
But there has to be a way in which it has to be done where we don't get into trouble, you know? And also, we shouldn't waste our energy on things, because like Litsab was saying, they are baiting us.
Yeah.
It's bait.
And we catch it a lot of the time. Yeah, we bite hook, line, and sinker, and then we're the ones who are fucked.
Shout out to the people on Twitter for finding that guy, because people like that need to be found.
Twitter's real, guys.
It is
but don't get pulled into the bait and then go assault a guy.
And now
or
you the one who's
now
going,
going to jail for assault. Don't do that. Rather, you know, collectively, rather do something that makes a statement.
Yeah, man.
But don't, like, get up in arms and get yourself in trouble.
Yeah, yeah, 100%, 100%. All right, guys, we're going to wrap up the show. It's been absolutely incredible talking to y'all. The incredible teams, Boo and Letabo, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you want to just tell us where we can find you on social medias?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you guys can check out our platform, actually, Credible. Mm. But outside of that, you can check us out on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. On Twitter, it's at Credible. So it's spelled C-R-E-D-I-P-P-L-E because credibility has a ripple effect. On top of that, you can check us out on Instagram. It's at Credible _. All our stuff about the games is also going to be there. So y'all should pull up, bring your alter egos, bring all the energy, do the most. Let's have all the fun we can have. And then lastly, on Facebook, it's our Facebook page is Credible.
All right, all right. Thank you so much, Boo. Thank you so much, Letabo, for joining us.
Thank you for having us, Mark. Yeah. Shout out to the worst guys.
We'll see you on Saturday. I think we've had some real chats and something insightful for everybody who is a creative or who is aspiring to become themselves. We've given them something to listen to. So I hope you guys enjoyed listening to this podcast. Share it with everybody that you know that might be affected just as you have been. We thank everybody who listens to us because we know we're not speaking to ourselves. Well, we pray at least.
So thank you
very much for listening. And we are going to wrap out with the Worst Guy Cypher as we do every single week. We make a song on the spot, yo. Let's see what we got here. Woo! I'm going to go in hard, yo.
Okay,
I'm about to make some noise cause I'm with the boys from Credible. And you know we got that ripple effect. I mean, I am an ocean and the waves never die. Malcolm Dooley is the guy. Let me tell you about this day on Saturday. I'm never gonna be the one who behaves. I don't wanna be the one who gives a fuck about his mistakes. I know you guys never gotta relate. You can relate cause you can't feel me because you're not being true to yourself. Let's add some ad-libs from the boys. Everybody knows that we throw our fucking toys at the clock when we don't get what we want from the start. We've had a dream, we've had a vision that we're not gonna stop. Tell me about it, tell me what you do every day. Cause every day. Thinking to me that you guys just playing games left to right all the time. But I don't cry cause I'm on my grind and I'm gonna shine one day. You will see me on your TV screen.
Bars.
What do I mean?
Bars.
I've been on the TV after your XP. You don't see me yet, but you're gonna see me real soon. Don't play with me, I don't have no time. I just bust a rhyme, I don't commit a crime. Don't call me Adam, don't call me any of these guys. Van Breda is so in disguise about who he is. A devil in a fucking coat. But I don't even coax anybody who wanna know me. You just come to the studio, my G. Let's talk about some real shit, please. I'm tired of talking the fake shit, the small shit. Let's talk about doing it big.
What up?
It's the worst, guys.
It's the worst, guys.
Marky Mark, that was some bars right there. That's some bars right there. You know what it is. You know what it is. Shout out to you for the bars, boy.
Shout out to everybody for listening. We love y'all.
Yeah. We'll catch you on Saturday.
Worst guys. Wow.
This is CliffCentral.com.